Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. Well, think back to when you were a teen. How much did you accomplish in those years? Well, my guest today has accomplished a lot. Stephen Hoffman is a teen who is tackling food insecurity by installing hydroponic gardens in places of need via his nonprofit called Growing Peace. Stephen is equally recognized for his filmmaking, an award-winning documentarian. It was his debut film, Growing Peace in the Middle East, which he created during the COVID-19 pandemic while in seventh grade, that inspired his nonprofit. For everything about the organization, go to growingpeaceinc.org, growingpeaceinc.org, and you can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X. And Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, Ira? It's good to be here.
Thank you for coming on. I'm just fascinated by your story. You launched this organization in 2021, but how did you get involved in hydroponics? And for those listeners and viewers may not know what hydroponics is, if you can give us a little bit of explanation. Some of us know and others may not, but it's a fascinating topic.
Yeah, so definitely. Hydroponics is basically a new system, or I guess comparatively new to traditional agriculture, a system of farming. So in traditional agriculture, you have these seeds and they're planted into soil, and that soil is what provides the nutrients to the seeds to help them grow. But in hydroponics, we can basically take all the nutrients that you would normally find in soil, and we can extract those and put them into water to create a nutrient rich water solution. And then we take this water, we pass it through the roots of the plants, and that's what provides the plants the nutrients that they need to grow. And so because of this, we can come up with a bunch of different configurations, and they all share a bunch of different benefits. First of all, they produce food at 2 to 3 times the rate of traditional farming, and we can grow hydroponics produce throughout the year, even in the winter, because we can grow indoors. And additionally, we don't use any pesticides, herbicides, or any chemicals, and it's more sustainable as well, because climate change is becoming more worse over time. There is less fertile ground to grow plants on. And so since hydroponics doesn't use soil at all, we don't have to use that ground. We can use it for more important things, for plants that actually we can't grow with hydroponics. Hydroponics also uses 70 to 80% less water than traditional farming. So that's especially useful for places that don't have access to as much clean water.
So how did you marry the idea of hydroponics with providing food for people that are in situations or areas that really need vegetables and fruits, but they can't get it? How did you come up with the idea of those marrying those two? And then how did you execute that? We can talk both about your documentary and your real life, I don't want to say procedures, your real life operations in various places.
Okay, yeah, definitely. So basically, I'll give you a whole backstory. It all really started in the summer of 2019 when I visited an organization in Israel called Sindiana of Galilee. And their mission was basically to try and create peace and coexistence between the Arab and Jewish populations in Israel. And they tried to achieve this by gathering women from each group and placing them in different sorts of activities, hoping that they would collaborate with one another and create peace and find common ground. So I learned about that during the summer of 2019. And then the following summer, in the midst of COVID, I ended up learning about their hydroponics project, which was a project where they would install these hydroponic systems in the homes of Jewish and Arab women, and then set up an online platform where they could communicate with one another and talk about what they're growing. Hey, I'm growing basil. Here are some tips if you want to grow this too. Become friends with one another that way. And so I found that project in especially inspiring, in addition to Sindiana's mission as a whole, which was to create peace in Israel. So I ended up creating a documentary that summer that highlighted Sindiana and their hydroponics project. And ever since then, I've been captivated by hydroponics as a technology. And I've been working with hydroponics, trying to install these systems in places that need access to fresh produce and just don't have it right now.
And you've done that in several places. But back to the documentary for just a second. When you decided to do a documentary on it, and again, you're a teenager still, as I alluded to in the beginning, you actually have won awards for the documentary. How did you put the documentary together? Were you the one-man band, or did you have a little bit of a crew helping you? How did you do that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't really have much experience with video editing, but I basically, I learned video editing. I used video editing softwares. And I mean, the most difficult part of the process was definitely the fact that we were in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. And so I couldn't actually go to Israel and interview all these people, but I also made it kind of a little more convenient because everything was now digital. So I conducted interviews with members of Sindiana and their projects over Zoom. I wrote a script in Google Docs, that sort of thing. And I edited all these clips together to create the documentary.
And what was the reaction to the documentary, both in Israel and in other areas, including the United States?
So I think in the United States, at least, or really globally, I submitted it to a bunch of different film festivals. I won over 100 awards / nominations across those film festivals. But I think the more important impact was that I was promoting the Sindiana as an organization and their hydroponics project to people in Israel. Since, like, even just a couple months after the documentary aired, more than 20 women, I believe, joined Sindiana and their hydroponics project and had systems installed in their homes. So I think the more important impact is really expanding Sindiana as an organization. And that's so important because their goal is such a crucial goal to try and strive for, which is to create peace between its Jewish and Arab populations.
When you set these up, are they costly or are they fairly efficient in terms of getting the materials you need? You clearly need a little bit of water. You need some sort of device to grow them in. I'm familiar with in the general concept of hydroponics, but when you're doing it at the level that you're doing it at, where a village or an area starts doing it, or people are in communication online doing it as a group, or in the case of what you've done too, where you've actually set these up in certain physical areas, we'll talk about that in a moment. But what kind of cost are we talking about? And does the foundation that we mentioned earlier, does that help out in terms of funding these?
Are you talking about my specific projects or just hydroponics in general?
No, your specific projects.
Yeah, okay.
So growingpeaceinc.org is the website. Again, it's called Growing Peace. Does that foundation help in terms of organizing these things, giving information about these things, funding it in some cases, or providing supplies, or all of the above, or none of the above?
Yeah, so we raise the funding to install the systems. We reach out to potential partner organizations that have physical locations where we can install the systems. So places like community centers or food pantries that have a physical space where we can put the system and put the system to work. And then we reach out to our hydroponics partners. They set up a proposal, visit the site, see how many systems we can install. And then eventually we order the parts and get the system shipped. And then we install the system. We might do a training, or we might just hire our partner organization for the farm service that they provide, which is basically they install, and then they also help to maintain the system throughout time. But really, in general, hydroponics only needs a couple things. You need the system they're actually growing in. So you're going to need water for that system. You're going to need the nutrient solution. And then you're going to need another solution called pH /down to raise or lower the pH. And then you're going to need a consistent source of electricity. But it's actually been proven that for systems of a certain size, you will actually get your money back if you decide to sell the produce, which is not what we're doing or any of our partner organizations are doing. But you'll actually, if you want to sell the produce, you can actually get your money back within, I think, 6 to 8 months for a lot of different systems. It depends on how large the system is, but most of the costs are mitigated in that sense.
How do you have time to do all the, I understand the COVID part where you're working on the documentary, but you're obviously involved in more than that. So how do you find time to do all this and also go to school? Or did you just drop out and become a hero and forget everything else?
I don't think my mom would be very happy if I dropped out of school, but really a lot of the work that I do is mostly online. The only times I really go in to see something is if I'm doing like a site visit to visit a system or to visit a location to see if we want to install a system, or if I'm doing some volunteering work, which I do once a week, a couple hours a week. This upcoming year, I'm actually going to be doing twice a week, a few hours a week. So I'll be volunteering at a bunch of different at a bunch of our systems in New York. But most of the work that I do is actually just online, which is applying for grants and awards, updating the website, social media work, that sort of thing. So it takes time, but I'm glad that I'm able to work with my schedule and still go to school.
How supportive are your parents? I bet they are quite a bit supportive of you and your endeavors.
Yeah, I'm very grateful to have very supportive parents who are willing to who support my mission and who are always there to support me and to encourage me to continue what I'm doing.
When you make site inspections, you mentioned that earlier. I assume you're in the general New York area because some of the projects are there. So when you go out there, do you go there at the beginning to do the site inspection, and then do you go back when everything is set up so you can see what it looks like?
So we generally do a site visit alongside our hydroponics provider. Their company is called Green Food Solutions. And so we look for a suitable room to do the to basically install the system in. And then once we found that, we take some pictures and then we get it all sent back to Green Food Solutions to for them to basically run a calculation to see how many systems we can fit. Once that's done, they send along a proposal to Growing Peace and to our partner organization. You know, maybe this many towers that are this high, it's going to cost this much. And so depending on how much funding we have and how much produce they want, we work around that to edit and revise the proposal. And then once we have approved it, we send along the funding and they basically ship all the parts to the site. And then we come in for, we call it installation day. So we do a big installation, sometimes a training. We get it all done in one day.
Looking at the whole picture, you can function. Obviously, there are people that do hydroponics in their own home, so there's that level of operation. But you're looking at a much larger operation, clearly, when you're doing a site inspection. And as you say, taking a look at the room, seeing what would work, and sending it to your partner to see what can, or partners to see what can effectively work. What's the smallest operation you've seen so far, and what's the largest operation you've been involved with?
So our first system was actually our largest. It was it was an installation in a food pantry in Israel that services Eritrean and Sudanese asylum seekers who have a hard time putting food on the table for themselves and for their families. So that system actually produces, I think, more than 20,000 servings of fresh produce each year. And definitely our smallest system was our most recent one, which was at the Common Point Queens Youth Opportunity Hub, which is a community center / youth hub, basically that provides youth with or people of all kinds to with opportunities to get better education, to find jobs, that sort of thing, to get education. So we have systems ranging from super large systems to small, just local systems that try and supplement various kitchens and food pantries.
Have you thought about why no one has come up with this idea before in terms of your approach? I mean, hydroponics has been around for a while. I don't know how long it's been around, but it's been around for a while. And yet you're the first one that I know of to think about, hey, let's set these up in situations where there's some food insecurity or food scarcity and let them grow fruits and vegetables. Have you thought about that as to why all of a sudden you're the one that's come up with this?
That's a really great question. I mean, yeah, you're right.
I only ask great questions, Stephen. That's it. I only ask great questions.
I mean, hydroponics, it has been around for quite a while, not compared to like traditional agriculture, but it has been around for quite a while. You see companies that basically do this on an industrial scale, but I guess I'm the first. Growing Peace is the first of its kind when it comes to using a sustainable technology like hydroponic farming to supplement or to try and alleviate food insecurity. But I guess it's just such a great tool because of its production and because of its sustainability aspects, that I'm frankly grateful that I'm able to work with hydroponics.
Did you find it relatively easy to get partners when you set up the foundation and you wanted to go and do this? In other words, people that would work with you, organizations, companies that would work with you, help support you in a lot of different ways, not just in providing material, but financial help, logistics, et cetera.
Yeah, honestly, my story, it kind of goes from like, it's kind of like a domino effect. One partner leads to another. So my film led to my partnership with the Food Pantry and with Volcani International Partnerships, which kind of introduced me to the Food Pantry. And then that led me to connect with the UJA, which helped me with the YMYWHA. My partnership with Topeka Sam and the LOHM to install a system at their Hope House led to my partnership with her at the Edgecombe Residential Treatment Facility and an upcoming project, which we have set to install this year at August 26th, I think, at the Queensboro Correctional Facility. So basically, all of our partners kind of lead to other partnerships and lead to other projects where we work with them in the future and maintain our connections and basically just expand our network.
Yeah, that's great. Have you talked to your parents about installing hydroponics in your house? Would they object to that? Maybe setting it up in your room? What do you think?
Well, so I would be interested in that, but I think, I don't know about my parents. I think my mom doesn't really want anything living in the house except for me and our whole family. No bugs or anything. I mean, she's fine with plants, but not like, you know, super crazy systems or that could attract bugs, that sort of thing.
Oh, that I could do that.
Honestly, I might try to convince her to get like a mini system. I don't know.
I can see that. Did you find that once you had, as you mentioned earlier, the success of the documentary, and then you started to go down this connecting chain here of different people and organizations that helped you a lot along the way? Do you think that this could be, and I don't want to put too heavy a burden on you yet, Stephen, because you're still relatively young, or you are young, not just relatively young. Some of your relatives may be young, but you're young as well. Anyway, do you think that this could be your life's work?
That's a very interesting question. Honestly, I think, so as far as like what I want to do in the future, I'm definitely interested in going to college. And in college, I hope to study maybe something related to environmental science or sustainable agriculture. I want to obviously keep going, growing peace going as long as I can. But as far as like a career, I really don't know what I want to do yet. Like you said, I'm a little young, but I think I know what my interests are, you know, sustainability, maybe filmmaking, agriculture, sustainable agriculture, kind of combining those fields. But I don't know what I want to pursue yet.
Okay, that's fair. I could see you living on campus in a dorm and having hydroponics set up there and all of your fellow...
That might be me in a few years.
Yeah, I could see that happening. How did you set up the nonprofit organization? Again, it's called Growing Peace. And we'll give out the website again at the end. Mark, we can go on now, growingpeaceinc.org, and I'll mention it again and towards the end of our conversation. But when you set it up, is it designed so that once you decide to go to college and you get busy with other things, other people can take over the operation?
Yeah, so currently I am the sole member of Growing Peace, but I think one of my biggest plans right now is I want to try and set up a board of directors, particularly a youth-led board of directors. And so maybe when I go to college, I won't be able to volunteer at my sites anymore. They may be far away. I might go to college in a different state. But I think I won't be able to be quite as intensely active with Growing Peace as I am right now. And so I might decide to step down to a board to be a board member instead of the executive director, which I am now.
Right.
So setting up a board of directors to help maintain my projects, even right now, trying to expand to different states, create chapters, I think is going to be one of my biggest missions in the upcoming years.
Yeah, I think that can definitely be a legacy for you as you expand and do it. Since you're the executive director and you are a teenager, you legally, I don't think, can sign contracts or agreements. Am I correct on that? Somebody else has to do that.
Yeah. So I think the way that we're set up, so we are registered as a 501c3 nonprofit. And so I do all the work for Growing Peace, but since I am a minor, my mom helps me sign all these legal documents. She helps me open a bank account for Growing Peace, set up a donate page, that sort of thing. And so I, because of my age, I'm not legally allowed to do that. So that's kind of where my mom steps in. She helps me with that.
Oh, that's nice. So good. In exchange for not having hydroponics in the house. It's a nice trade-off. Yeah. I was thinking you were going to tell me you had a lawyer do all that, but if your mom's helping you, that's even better. Now, you've received two awards that I know of, and probably more, but I'm aware of two. One was the Dillertine Award, and the other one was a CNN Heroes Award. Can you talk a little bit about both of those?
Yeah, so Dillertine is an award that I applied for. It recognizes 15, I think, young change makers, young Jewish change makers across the globe. I think maybe only in the U.S. and Canada. And they award $36,000 to each one of those change makers, and then which has been a substantial part of Growing Peace's funding, and funding of current and future operations. And then the CNN Heroes Award, I was awarded one of two CNN Young Wonders, which is basically under 18 or under, I think, basically people who are young change makers who are helping the world. And so that actually didn't come with as much of a substantial grant, but it did come with a lot of publicity for Growing Peace, and we received a lot of donations from individuals after that.
Sure, it makes a lot of sense. And you can use that when you approach people for ideas or for support along the way. So that's great. So you've got a very quick start with this. Do you see an expansion of it? You mentioned earlier about maybe opening up chapters in other states, and people can go to the website if they want to follow up on that. But do you see this all happening within a 5-year period or a 10-year period, or in your case, probably a 1-year period, the way you've got this going already?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to set up. I mean, right now, our priority is one, to set up a board of directors, and two, I mean, not ranking them, but like A, board of directors, and B, more projects and more installations. So those are our two priorities. I'm hoping to set up a board of directors relatively soon, just because I'm entering my junior year of high school. So hopefully, by the end of maybe 2025, I don't know. I guess we'll see where it goes, or maybe even by the end of this school year, which ends in June.
What's the feedback you've been getting from people and organizations you've helped with setting up these installations, whether it's in Israel, in the United States, wherever it happens to be? Do you get feedback from the participants in the project, or the recipients, I should say, more than the participants, but they participate too, because they're growing, and after being trained, they grow vegetables and fruits using the hydroponic method. Have you gotten feedback from people?
Yeah, so we've gotten feedback saying, you know, this is such an awesome project. We really like what you're doing. We want you to continue doing what you're doing because it's so inspirational. We've gotten feedback saying, the basil was great. We made a salad. And we've also, I've gotten feedback, not in like the literal sense, but I've just seen people's faces light up and glow when they see the hydroponic system and they're ready to get involved and get active working with the system and eating the produce. So that's really great.
I would think too, that if you are a vegetarian particularly, that would be very helpful in the sense I could provide your entire diet as opposed to people who eat meat or fish or chicken or all of that. So they would supplement with those vegetables and fruits, but just the idea of being able to sustain, which it does clearly. Is there an ongoing cost, such as the fluid you mentioned earlier, where you need that, not just water, but you have to have that specialized kind of fluid? So there's an ongoing cost. Is that relatively nominal?
Yeah, definitely. There is what we call an operational cost, includes things like the rockwool that we use to grow, the water, the electricity bill, and then also the pH up and down and the nutrient solution. And those are all covered by our partner organizations. They're very small compared to the actual installation cost, but those are covered by the the organization that actually owned the physical site.
Very good. Last question before I let you go. We talked about college and finishing up that. Do you see coming full circle once you finish college and go into a whole other world, you'll always come back to this concept because you started it and it means something to you? In other words, you may not be executive director. You might be either a board member or an advisor or an emeritus type of situation. But do you see it always being part of your life?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I hope to, like I said, I really want to continue growing peace as long as I can. And if I, for some crazy reason, am no longer able to continue my work with Growing Peace, I want there to be a system set up that allows Growing Peace to continue as an organization. Obviously, all of our systems are self-sustaining, so the organizations that we partner with maintain them, even once Growing Peace is no longer involved, which we're involved with all of our systems, but that's where the board of directors really comes in to help continue the projects. But I hope to be involved with Growing Peace as long as I can.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Stephen Hoffman. He's been tackling food insecurity by installing hydroponic gardens in places of need via his nonprofit Growing Peace. For everything about the organization, go to growingpeaceinc.org, growingpeaceinc.org, and you can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and X. And Stephen, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Sure. And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.